And he reigned in the land of Judah for 40 years. Throughout his reign, his position before God was severely influenced by those round about him, whether it was for good or whether it was for evil. But through his life, he never gained his own identity in the household of faith. And at this point in time in the history of Judah, we find that Joash was the sole remaining seed of his father David. Can we just have the first slide on, please, Brother Luke? Here we see on this first slide, brethren and sisters, the family that Joash came from. Yesterday in his words, Brother Graham spoke to us of Jehoshaphat and how he made an alliance with the King Ahab of the house of Israel, and how that his son Jehoram joined in marriage with Athaliah. And as we see, Joash was the grandson of that parentage of Jehoram and Athaliah. To understand the situation in the land of Judah at this time, brethren and sisters, we just want to spend a few moments considering the background of his parents, of Ahaziah the king, his father, and of Athaliah, his grandmother, the state of the land of Judah at the time he came to the throne. Come with me, please, to the second book of Chronicles and the 22nd chapter. Second Chronicles chapter 22, and reading at verse 2. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. Now straight away we see something strange recorded for us in the record. We have just said on our family tree that Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Yet the divine scriptures record for us that she was the daughter of Omri, who, as we can see, was actually her grandfather. So what are the scriptures of truth telling us by telling us she was the daughter of Omri? But just come over with me to the book of Micah. It gives us an insight into this reason. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 and verse 16. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people. Omri was the statute maker in the household here. He was a man that was full of ideas, although if we looked at his life, we would see he was full of evil ideas and brought evil upon the household before him. And these statutes were worked out by his son, Ahab, throughout his household. Come back with me then to that verse we read in 2 Chronicles 22. We now see that Athaliah continues that work of the household of Ahab. She took those statutes of Omri, her grandfather, and she continued to work them out in her life and in that of the life of her son Ahaziah. And verse 3 continues, he also walked, Ahaziah, walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother Athaliah was his counsellor to do wickedly. So here we now see Athaliah as the statute maker in the family. She was giving counsel to her son Ahaziah, and he was continuing to work that out in his life. And this, brethren and sisters, is why I believe that it is recorded for us that she is the daughter of Omri. And we shall see as we continue this morning through the life of Joash the importance of counsel and where we gain our counsel from, and when we give counsel, how we should always give it from the Word of Life and not from what we think. So Ahaziah, verse 4 continues, "Wherefore he did evil in the sight of Yahweh, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counsellors after the death of his father to his destruction." He continued evilly in the sight of Yahweh, and his reign was one full of evil. We come down to verse 10, the death of Ahaziah, and we read, "But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah." She didn't stop and mourn for the death of her son, brethren and sisters. She thought about seizing the power of the kingdom unto herself. She didn't think about her son that had just died. But instead, she destroyed the seed royal of the household of David, the household of Judah. She had absolutely no regard in her life for the things of Yahweh, for the promises that were made to David that there would be a seed throughout all time, that his seed would sit upon his throne. And here she was going solely against that purpose of Yahweh in trying to destroy the household of Judah. But we know, brethren and sisters, that Yahweh continually works in the ecclesia, does he not? And he had made that promise to David. And that promise was true. And we see in verse 11 of 2 Chronicles 22 that Yahweh intervened in the things that were going on in the forms of Jehoshabeath. In verse 11, "But Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber." We see, just looking at our family tree here, brethren and sisters, that Jehoshabeath was the aunt of Joash. She was the sister of King Ahaziah. So this may have been some of the reason why she felt moved to save Joash. Joash, at this time, was merely a matter of months old. He was still being cared for by his nurse. And Jehoshabeath takes the two of them and hides them away. Jehoshabeath's name, if we can just have a... Well, that's... Run to the third slide for me, please. Go to the next one, Luke. Jehoshabeath's name means Yahweh sworn. And if we look at Jesenius, it takes that a little bit further for us and says, "Whose oath is Yahweh?" Here was a woman, brethren and sisters, who was dedicated in the things of the truth. She was, as was just shown on that family tree, the wife of Jehoiada the priest. And she was dedicated in the worshipping and the serving of her heavenly father. And Jehoiada, his name means Yahweh known. And Josephus translates that for us as whom Yahweh cares for. So here we had two people, a husband and wife, who were steeped in the things of the truth. They were rocks in the ecclesia, brethren and sisters. And they took away Joash from the imminent slaughter that was about to come upon him. And verse 11 continues, "So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so that she slew him not. Athaliah, the grandmother of Joash, in going round slaying her very own grandchildren, brethren and sisters, hadn't even realised that there was one missing. Now what grandparent is there that doesn't know their own grandchildren? We're at a family Bible school together, brethren and sisters, and we see the grandparents with their grandchildren and the love that they show toward them. And yet we see Athaliah, who didn't even know that she hadn't killed one of her own grandchildren. She truly epitomised evil in the flesh, did she not, brethren and sisters? She was truly moulded in the character of her mother Jezebel. Verse 12 continues, and Joash was hid with them in the house of God 6 years. They hid him in the house of Yahweh, brethren and sisters, and they brought him up for 6 years in the household of faith. What better place is there to bring up children, brethren and sisters, than in the ecclesia, amongst our brethren and sisters, with those of like precious minds, that our children together can meet those who too wish to learn of the things of God, that together they might enjoy these things one with another. Come with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6, and reading at verse 16, we read, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We are the temple of the living God, brethren and sisters, the household of faith in our day. And we have to seek to keep that unit strong, walking on that narrow path that leads to righteousness, brethren and sisters. As we have said, what better place could there have been to, number one, hide Joash from Athaliah? She wasn't likely to go to the temple of Yahweh. And number two, to bring him up where he could see day by day the things of Yahweh taking place as Jehoiada the priest went about his work, to be brought up by that wonderful woman, Jehoshabeth. Verse 11 concludes, verse 12 concludes, and Athaliah reigned over the land. It does not say she reigned over the people, brethren and sisters. She reigned over the land. And the people, brethren and sisters, were frankly not on her side. Yes, they may have gone along with the Baal worship, they may have served it to idols, but the despicable acts which Athaliah carried out, the people were not wholeheartedly with her. And she reigned over the land for 6 years. Six, the number of flesh, the number of man. And she indeed, as we have said, epitomised flesh and evil and everything that it stands for to its fullest. Chapter 23 of 2 Chronicles and verse 1 reads, and in the 7th year Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jehoram and Ishmael the son of Jehohanan and Azariah the son of Obed and Maaseiah the son of Adaiah and Elishaphat the son of Zichri into covenant with him. And we continue to read over the next verse, how easy it was for Jehoiada the priest to gather these people together. With what purpose? That they could come together against Athaliah, to overthrow her, to do away with the wickedness in the land. It did not take much. It just needed a strong leadership. And they had this in Jehoiada the priest. In verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 22 says, "And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God." Just like you to come back with me to the parallel record in the second book of Kings in chapter 11. And we see here it's recorded very slightly differently for us. 2 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4. "In the seventh year Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard and brought them to him into the house of Yahweh. And Jehoiada made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of Yahweh and showed them the king's son." Joash at this time, as we have said, was 7 years of age, brethren and sisters. He was in no position to rule the kingdom of Yahweh on his own. He needed the help, and he needed the strength, and he needed the guidance of Jehoiada the priest. And it is with Jehoiada the priest that the people enter into this covenant. And then he shows them the king's son. They all thought, most likely, that the royal seed of David had been obliterated. But here before them, they had stood this seven-year-old lad, through which the promises of David could be fulfilled, through which that royal line could continue, brethren and sisters. Jehoiada the priest was acting here typically as the king priest of the day. As we have already mentioned, Athaliah's reign was for a period of 6 years. If we just look at verse 21 of 2 Chronicles 23, at the end of the reign of Athaliah, after they had risen up together and that they had slain Athaliah, that wicked woman, we read in verse 21 of 2 Chronicles 23, "And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after that they had slain Athaliah with the sword." So in the seventh year, when they rose up against the wickedness of Athaliah, the people of the land rejoiced, and the land and the city was quiet. Can we not see a type being portrayed for us here, brethren and sisters? That type of the 6,000 year reign of wickedness of mankind upon this earth. That 6,000 year reign of that apostate system which reigns still now in the earth. But as we saw from Brother Jerry's address on Sunday evening, brethren and sisters, that 7,000th year is about to begin, when the King Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come back to this earth and with his saints will overthrow that apostate system and will rule the land in righteousness and peace. What a beautiful picture we have portrayed for us here, brethren and sisters. So then we come to Joash in chapter 24. Chapter 24 and verse 1. "Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba." Joash's name means Yahweh fired. He was a young man. He was full of the zeal of the truth, brethren and sisters. He was full of the truth at this point in his life. And yes, he was fired up to do the work of Yahweh. Verse 2 continues, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Just come back with me again to the parallel record in Kings, brethren and sisters, to 2 Kings 12 and verse 2. Kings 12 and verse 2 reads, and Jehoash, or Joash, did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh all his days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Throughout his life, Jehoiada instructed Joash in the things he was to do. He gave him counsel in the things of Yahweh. Whereas before we saw that Athaliah had given evil and wicked counsel, here we now see Jehoiada giving faithful and righteous counsel to the king of Judah. Even to the fact that Jehoiada took for him two wives and he begat sons and daughters. Jehoiada even sought out the wife for Joash, so that he might have that right partner in life to help him and to be with him on his walk. And the record in 2 Chronicles 24 continues in verse 4, and it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of Yahweh. Why did the house of Yahweh need repair? Well, from the reign of Athaliah, which was indeed a wicked and evil reign, and from the reign of her son before her, which was an evil and a wicked reign because it had been overruled by that woman Athaliah, we read in verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 24, for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of Yahweh did they bestow upon Balaam. So it was for this reason that Joash needed to repair the house of Yahweh. And that word minded in verse 4, it means heartfelt or from the heart. He really believed in what he was doing. That zeal bubbled over in him to the working out of the righteousness of the truth, brethren and sisters. And it is a great exhortation to each and every one of us, that each and every one of us has that same zeal bubbling forth from us, that we might in this day and age help to keep strong that unit of the household of faith. And he gathered in verse 5 together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out unto the cities of Judah and gather all the money and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten this matter. Howbeit, the Levites hastened it not. So Joash wanted this work done, and he wanted it done quickly. He didn't want to waste time. And verse 6 continues, and the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? The parallel record in Kings records that this is now the 23rd year of his reign. Joash was now a man of 30 years old. And it is possible now at this point in time he feels that he has to usurp a little of his authority as the king of Judah. So he calls Jehoiada, who had been his guide, his counsellor, to say, why has this work not been done? So they go forth, and together the priests work, and they collect the money from all the land of Judah. And they build up that house of Yahweh, brethren and sisters. Come with me to verse 13 of 2 Chronicles 24. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them. And they set the house of God in his state, and they strengthened it. And is that not typical of what we must be doing in the ecclesia today, brethren and sisters? We must be building up the ecclesia at all times. We must strengthen it at all times. Verse 14 continues. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of Yahweh, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of Yahweh continually, all the days of Jehoiada. So once they had finished the work of building the house of Yahweh up, brethren and sisters, they didn't just sit back, but they used the temple. They offered offerings there continually. As we saw at the start, all the days of Jehoiada. Jehoiada by this time, brethren and sisters, was an old man. Verse 15, but Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days, and he died. 130 years old was he when he died. He had spent a life dedicated to the truth, brethren and sisters, in the service to his heavenly Father. And they buried him in the city of David, among the king's brethren and sisters. They recognized him, that he was the king priest in this age, brethren and sisters, that he had been there guiding Joash through his life. And for this, brethren and sisters, he was buried among the kings. Why? Because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. As we have already had mentioned this week so far, brethren and sisters, he had his priorities right. First of all, his service to his heavenly Father, then to his own house, by his enlarged house of the ecclesia, brethren and sisters. He had his priorities right in life, and he did good in Israel. But what happens as soon as Jehoiada is off the scene, brethren and sisters? Joash, now a man of 30 years of age, should he not have matured in the things of Yahweh? Should he now not be a man of some maturity in the truth? He had, after all, been brought up in his early years in the temple. He had the priest to guide him in all things, brethren and sisters. But he hadn't gained his own identity. He hadn't rooted his life in the truth. He had lent too much of his life on Jehoiada the priest. He hadn't let the mind of Christ into his own mind, that he might stand on his own two feet and withstand the fiery darts of the wicked, had he not, brothers and sisters? Verse 17 continues for us. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. And the king hearkened unto them. The word obeisance, it means to prostrate oneself to the ground. They came before him. They gave praise unto him. They softened him up. They used the oldest thing in Scripture, brethren and sisters. They came to him with subtlety, as the serpent had done in the Garden of Eden when he came and he spoke to Eve. They told him the things he wanted to hear, that he was a good king and a strong king. And because of this, the king hearkened unto them, And that word hearken means to listen intently. His counsel had now changed. The person he had taken counsel from for the whole of his life so far had been taken off the scene. And now he took counsel from the princes and he listened to them. These were the same princes who had, with Jehoiada, some time before, risen up to slay Athaliah. They had risen up and placed Joash upon the throne, but they had not been able to work out the evil acts they wished to, because the rock that stood before them, Jehoiada the priest, was too big an obstacle for them to overcome. But as soon as he's out of the way, we see their working, brethren and sisters. And verse 18 continues, they left the house of Yahweh, God of their fathers, and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. The word left, it means to loosen or to relinquish. They had let go the things of Yahweh. They wanted to serve idols and serve the groves. But Yahweh brings wrath upon Jerusalem for this their trespass. But Yahweh, in his continual mercy, brethren and sisters, sends prophets to them to try and turn them again from their evil and their wicked ways. But they would not listen at this time. So what does Yahweh do? Verse 20, the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest. And we'll just have that family tree back up just a moment, please, Luke. Yahweh now uses Zechariah. Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest. The cousin of Joash, the king, brethren and sisters. He was very probably brought up in the temple together as brothers. They would have known each other very closely from the relation that they had in their early years. And the word tells us that the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah. Now we've already seen these words read this week, brethren and sisters, when our brother Alan spoke on Monday. Come back with me a few pages to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Second Chronicles 15 and verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Yahweh is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, brethren and sisters, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But here, in the days of Joash, they had had the teaching priest with them. God was there, working. They had the law, brethren and sisters. And what does verse 20 of 2 Chronicles continue? And Zechariah came and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of Yahweh, that ye cannot prosper? Remember those words we just read a moment ago, brethren and sisters? Because ye have forsaken Yahweh, he hath also forsaken you. Exactly as he said he would do when through the prophet he spoke to King Asa. The Spirit of God had moved upon Zechariah at this time. And the word came upon, it meant to wrap around, to encloak. came with his power, the power of Yahweh, brethren and sisters, to deliver this strong message to the king. Just turn with me into the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews in chapter 4. Sorry, James chapter 4. James 4, and reading at verse 8, we see here the reverse principle of forsaking Yahweh. Verse 8 of James chapter 4, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We have to draw nigh unto God, brethren and sisters, and he will draw nigh unto us. But if, as Joash, we forsake him, he too will forsake us. Just come with me back to Proverbs and chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. These six things doth Yahweh hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that have shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among his brethren. Can we not see Joash in these words, brethren and sisters, after the time that Jehoiada the priest had fallen asleep? But what does the writer in Proverbs continue to say, brethren and sisters? My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. If Joash had held firm this principle in his life, brethren and sisters, he would not have allowed the words of the princes to affect him. He would have been able to stand on his own two feet had he kept the word of God bound upon his head, upon his heart, and lived by it. Unlike Joash, the priest Zechariah had matured. He was able to stand in his own right before Yahweh. He had learnt the principles of Yahweh and was working them out in his life, whereas Joash was not able to do that. And we continue in verse 21 of 2 Chronicles 24. And they conspired against Zechariah, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of Yahweh. Luke 11 tells us that it was between the altar and the temple. It's very strange if we think about this, brothers and sisters. They killed Zechariah the priest in the temple of Yahweh, the very place which Joash had been taken by his aunt Jehoshabeth so that he was not slain by that wicked woman Athaliah. And now they are slaying his cousin Zechariah in the same very place. And the record continues, thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him. The name Zechariah means Yah hath remembered. But Joash remembered not, brethren and sisters, the kindness of Jehoiada. He was in the very place he had been brought up, but he remembered not the kindness of Jehoiada, his father. But he slew his son. And when he died, he said, Yahweh, look upon it and require it. So for this evil action, brethren and sisters, Yahweh brings the nation of Syria down upon the children of Judah. For this their wickedness. Verse 24 reads, the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and Yahweh delivered a very great host into their hand. Book of Hebrews, chapter 10, we read, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it would indeed have been a fearful thing as they were overrun by this small company of the Syrians. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons. And the end of that verse, verse 25, reads, but they buried him not in the sepulchre of the kings. The true king had been Jehoiada, who had lived faithfully and righteously before God. And for it, he was buried in the sepulchre of the kings. But Joash was not. And these, in verse 26, are they that conspired against him. His own servants from his own house that conspired against him. Zabad, the son of Shimeath, and Jehozabad, the son of Shimri. We are told that these two servants, we are given the names of their mothers. And as we have already seen, when we are given the names of women throughout scriptures, there's a reason for it. And as we read through that verse, I omitted two things that are not brothers and sisters. The one was an Ammonitess, and the other was a Moabitess. Come back with me to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 23. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 3. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of Yahweh. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of Yahweh forever. These two should not have been there, brethren and sisters. But there they were, and they slew him. Can I have the next slide, please, by the way? So through the life of Joash, we have seen several things, brethren and sisters. We have seen that he was the only remaining seed of King David. Throughout his life, he was nurtured in the things of Yahweh by Jehoiada. At the start of his life, brethren and sisters, he had a love of the things of God. But when his counselor was removed from the scene, the influences of the princes turned him to idolatry. As we said, his reign was for a period of 40 years, brothers and sisters. 40 is a number that speaks to us of a time of probation. He had not completed his time of probation. He had fallen short and turned to idolatry and to wickedness. We are still walking in our probation, are we not, brothers and sisters? Until the Master returns, or if he remains away and we fall asleep. We still have today to work out the things of Yahweh. Let us not fall short, as did Joash. He forsook Yahweh, and Yahweh forsook him. He slew his own cousin, Zechariah the priest. Can we just have the next slide, please? He was not buried in the sepulchre of the king's brothers and sisters. There is one last thing I would just like to have a few moments just to look at. In the genealogy of Christ recorded for us in Matthew chapter 1, there is no record of Joash. Just have that up just a little higher, please. We see here Asa, his great-grandfather, Jehoshaphat, his grandfather, Jehoram, his grandfather, sorry. His father's not recorded, who was the next on the throne. Athaliah is not recorded, who was the next on the throne. Joash is not recorded, who was the next on the throne. And his son, Amaziah, is not recorded, who was next on the throne. Why have these four been admitted from the list here in Matthew chapter 1, brethren and sisters? Well, firstly, Athaliah was of the household of Israel. She was not of the household of Judah. She brought with her into the household of Judah the wickedness of Ahab and Jezebel, her parents. She brought that idolatry worship with her and introduced it to the household of Judah. Yahweh in 1 Kings 21 pronounces that there would be a complete annihilation of the household of Ahab. Just turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5, verse 9. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, Yahweh thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And indeed, here we see worked out for us that iniquity being delivered upon the third and the fourth generations, right through Ahaziah, Athaliah, Joash and Amaziah, and they are stricken from the record of the kings of Judah. And the true line of the seed of Christ is taken up through the grandson of Joash in Uzziah. Isn't it marvellous the way the scriptures of truth work, brethren and sisters? That the Spirit is directing our minds to the fact of the record of these four kings by omitting them from this record. Our time has gone, brethren and sisters. We'd just like to sum up with a few last thoughts. We, in our life today, brethren and sisters, each and every one of us must take care who we choose to take counsel from in our lives. We need the strength of the brethren and sisters round about us. The young brethren and sisters need the strength of the older, and the older need the zeal and the enthusiasm of the younger, that together we may walk as the household of faith. But we as younger brethren and sisters must too mature in the things of the truth. For if the Lord does remain away, we pray this is not the case, but if he does remain away and the elders of the ecclesia pass away, are there those there ready to take on that role in the ecclesia to guide faithfully as Jehoiada did the people of Yahweh? Brethren and sisters, the lessons are stark for each and every one of us. We need to heed the warning contained therein, that when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, it may be said, like in verse 2, Joash did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh all the days of Jehoiada the priest, that it may be said of us that we have done that which was right in the sight of Yahweh all the days of our probation. When he returns, he might find us walking there.